Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Juliette Bond. Juliette is a sustainability project consultant, and she has her own consulting firm, Juliette Bond Consulting, and she's also on the advisory board of Zero Waste Humboldt, and we're going to talk about food waste. How did you get involved in the field of waste management?
Wow, that's a very long story. The short version is I was very interested in clean energy, and as a student here at HSU, I had gotten involved with a student design competition to develop hydrogen fueling infrastructure. And over the course of this project, we looked at using landfill gas to produce hydrogen. And that led me to thinking about other uses of landfill gas, which is typically very dirty and harder to extract and transport. And that led me to the realization that it's just the organic waste in the landfills that's producing the methane. So why not keep it out of the landfills, put it to use either in a digester if you wanted to create renewable energy and fertilizer, or compost it. And then I got very deeply involved in all of the different nuances of food waste and how to use it.
Well, you've recently been looking into the California short-lived climate pollutant reduction strategy, and you're very excited about that. Why is that?
I am extremely excited about that piece of policy. The biggest reason is that it is an opportunity for us to mitigate the impacts of climate change within our lifetimes. And the longer version of that is that the Air Board has basically realized we need a multi-pronged approach to reach our goals under AB 32 to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. One prong is the longer-term carbon dioxide reductions over the sort of 100-year time span. The other prong now is the short- to medium-lived climate pollutant reduction strategy, which include black carbon, so from forest fires and wood stoves in your home or any burning of any fossil fuel or biomass, refrigerants, and methane, which is, of course, what comes out of landfills when you put organic waste there. And so basically what the portion that addresses methane says is that by the year 2025, we will eliminate the disposal of organic waste going to landfills. Now, I should note that what this means is that all of the organic waste currently going into trash bins will have to find another use. I also want to note that this still has to be formally approved by the Air Board, and that process should be happening in the next month or so. So if you are at all interested and supportive of this idea, please feel free to write the Air Board and let them know.
Okay. So food is one of the biggest problems in our system, you know, trying to make sure that, first of all, that you make the highest use of your food, you know, that you take good care of your food when you get it home. And a lot of that can be done by, you know, carefully refrigerating, wrapping, you know, excluding air, looking out for heat affecting it and, you know, breaking it down. But there are also places, you know, where food is kind of pre-consumer and trying to figure out how that food can be used somehow so that it also doesn't end up in the landfill. What are some of the ways that people are doing that?
Sure. Well, I think one of the benefits of pre-consumer waste is that it's easier to deal with than the post-consumer. For those people listening who maybe aren't familiar with this, pre-consumer is all of the, you know, carrot tops and vegetable cuttings and things in the food preparation phase that have never, ever touched a plate or been exposed to human contact. That material, people are collecting it and feeding it to worms. People are collecting it and feeding it to pigs. People are, of course, you know, if you can find some willing composter to take that material and compost it at home. I know that's happening at certain restaurants around town. I think what we really see happening is that there's a lot of momentum building right now for people to find something to do with their food waste. So people are getting creative, but there's also a limit on how many places there are to take that material and what materials can be accepted at those different sites.
I think one of the groups that probably have figured some of these things out have been schools and hospitals, places where there's a lot of food preparation done in one location.
I would say that's not necessarily the norm, but there are schools and hospitals that are working on that. I know, for example, Arcata Elementary has a worm composting program and a really great food separation program. They get the kids to participate, so that's sort of an educational component in and of itself. Other schools have composting programs and garden programs on site. I know they do that at the Del Norte Middle School. And then also some hospitals have their compost, if they have extra land and space, they're doing some composting on site. But I think that more to the point is those are potentially very large point sources of a lot of organic waste. So, you know, those folks are really in need of some more outlets to take that material.
I think some of the farmers that, you know, have kind of gotten into raising animals have done that as a way to use some of their extra produce, some of the gleanings, you know, from when the fields are completed producing for the farmer's market. You know, you can go in and gather up what you have and feed it to the animals. So they're kind of doing a little bit of that as well.
Absolutely.
And then there are also some of those sources like dairy. I mean, we're a big dairy county. And so what happens to milk that has gone beyond its date?
You know, at this point, I'm not sure that there's a lot going on with that material. Sometimes, in terms of cheese whey, I know that for a while, Cypress Grove was feeding some of it back to their baby goats and also using some of it to fertilize the grass that the goats feed on. That's certainly a very large opportunity for expansion. There is a willingness from all the folks who have pigs, provided their pigs will accept and eat and enjoy that material. They could take on some of that material, provided you could work out the transportation element for that liquid waste. But it is relatively high-strength waste that needs to have a good end use. Maybe one of the first problems is any kind of contamination getting in the waste stream. That, you know, plastics are often found in a mixed food waste stream, silverware, things like that. I think the second problem would, of course, be making sure you adhere to all of the California Department of Food and Agriculture regulations that are designed to prevent pathogens from continuing from one source into the next animal and kind of carrying on in the food stream. So I think basically there are lots of opportunities, but also people do have to be careful of those types of things, pathogens and contaminants.
Yeah. What other sorts of things do you see where there is a byproduct of an industry that ends up as, you know, something that can be used?
Well, I think there's a lot of momentum right now in the wine industry to find a use for the pumice. Certainly, you know, the basic end use of all of this stuff could be composting or anaerobically digesting it. And of course, I should step back and make sure that I say, yes, any food fit for human consumption should be diverted to the food banks. That's something we do very well here in Humboldt County, but something we could definitely improve on. Then there's the animal feeding piece of it in terms of reuse. There's composting and digestion. But then in the grape pumice that kind of came to mind for me, it's about 20% of the grape ends up as the pumice, which is this stems and seeds and skins. And some people are trying to make flour out of the seeds. Some people are, if they can get a license, making grappa or a distilled alcohol out of fermenting that skin seed stem mixture. There's also grapeseed oil. A lot of this stuff is hard, though, to do on smaller scales and works better at larger scales. So there's some creative reuse like that. I also should say that, you know, I'd be interested to see if people can, you mentioned sort of the dairy waste. I'd be very interested to see if somebody can come up with some creative reuse for that material going forward. But what comes to mind is the grape industry, I'd say, the wine industry.
It just seems like a great area for really creative thought about, you know, how can some of these problems be turned into solutions.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of entrepreneurial effort going on around that right now. But again, it does take often equipment, permits, time and ability to haul and collect that material, to sort it and make sure that you remove the unwanted parts of it that come along with the first level of collection. I think people feel very motivated to say, let me find something creative. And then when they get sort of down into the details of it, it can become challenging. I think there are some things that are very easy fits, like feeding some material to worms or pigs that, you know, they're pretty much not very particular and don't require a lot of extra equipment. But there still is equipment required in the, you know, in that collection piece. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of movement in this direction right now.
Well, great. Thank you so much. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Juliet Bond. She is a sustainable project consultant with Juliet Bond Consulting and an advisory board member of Zero Waste Humboldt. Thank you so much, Juliet.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.